This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Do we have any more Gene Hackmans? Who is the comparable Gene Hackman in the movies today? By now you've heard the news. A legend. There is no debating that in any way. An acting legend has left us. And as CBS pointed out at the top of the hour, Chad Hartman, Dave Harrigan, Newstalk 830 WCCO, they are now labeling this as suspicious, where Hackman, his wife, and one of their dogs found dead. Everybody in separate rooms. The dog in a closet, Hackman and his wife in separate rooms, two other dogs roaming free. Some obvious concerns, Dave, where people think, okay, gas. Right? They just were in separate places, didn't realize it, and they died. But then TMZ, of course, it's TMZ, and everybody else is following TMZ about a prescription bottle open with pills scattered on the countertop. So suspicious is the word. So we'll follow that part of the story. But I think of Gene Hackman, and we would occasionally mention Gene Hackman the last 5-10 years and say, we miss Gene Hackman. I mean, I'm looking at Vanita, and I'm looking at Adam and Jordana, and they already had you text in, you know, your favorite Gene Hackman roles. You certainly can do that again. But, Dave, the list is voluminous.
It's a good list. My goodness.
Oh, my God. It's who's left right now that has a list close to that? De Niro, Pacino, am I done?
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Cruise. I mean, Morgan Freeman, Denzel, I guess.
Yeah, right? All good names. And then younger individuals, DiCaprio has a phenomenal list that he's built.
Yeah.
Bradley Cooper's not at that level. Obviously, Meryl Streep.
Yeah. Matt Damon's getting close.
Yeah. Right? Again, French Connection. I mean, I guess if I think of one role for him, I think French Connection. And that's, I'm six. Okay, so I didn't see it when I was six. But I saw it later. And as Popeye Doyle, he's amazing. I guess if I think of two, Is it Hoosiers? Is it Unforgiven? But, I mean, I so love Royal Tenenbaum. It was such a brilliant Wes Anderson movie. Bonnie and Clyde as Lex Luthor, Mississippi Burning, Birdcage, Enemy of the State, Crimson Tide, The Firm, and there's so many more. And among the quotes I saw, He described himself as your everyday mine worker. That's what he looked like.
Yeah.
Your everyday mine worker, right? Piercing eyes, but was he the typical dashing, handsome Redford Newman? No. Good-looking man, but he could morph into anything and everything, including comedy, right?
Yes, for sure. You mentioned it with Royal Tenenbaums.
And even the way he played Lex Luthor. Okay, more just this bemused guy. You think about his brief appearance in Young Frankenstein.
That's right, the blind man.
Yes. So when I say who's Hackman now, I'm saying he could be the lead. He could be the sidekick. He could have, I mean, think about all the memorable back and forths he had with so many great actors. I mean, with Eastwood in Unforgiven. You know, I like the book, The Firm, better than the movie, but the movie's pretty damn good. His scenes with Cruise. How about Crimson Tide with Denzel? How about in Mississippi Burning? I mean, Bonnie and Clyde. And it makes me think, so here's where I'll tie it to me, and I wonder if people are with me. The movie experience for me, you know, my mother brought me to movies, and I loved movies, and I'm sure I still do. The pandemic changed me. And not, I mean, zero fear. Okay, I'm not, I haven't made this decision because I'm worried about getting sick, going to movies. Take a guess how many movies I saw at a theater last year.
Two.
That's it. You nailed it.
Yes.
Quentin movies. I went to two Quinny movies. I'm not kidding. There are years I would see 50, 60 movies. And I mean, I lead a busy life. I'm not suggesting in any way I'm so busy I can't see a movie. That's utterly ridiculous. Do I consume more things through TV shows? Although last few months I'm not watching a lot of TV shows. I started a Paradise, the Sterling Brown show the other day. Really like it. I watched that OJ doc. It was great. It wasn't the top one. It wasn't OJ Made in America, but it was really good. But like the Oscars are Sunday. And we both absolutely love Conan. And he's hosted. And there's a lot of movies. And we're lauding on the Screen Actors Guild, although I don't know why I don't get the screeners. I need to check. It might be that I say it. I'll say it again. We'd be better without the union. Maybe that's playing a part. But for me, it makes me shake my head and think, why am I not going to more movies? Why am I not seeking out other great acting? Because it didn't end with Gene Hackman. They're still brilliant performers, writers, cinematographers, producers, directors today. Because I rarely am the person, Dave, who says, back in my day, it was better. I think for too many people, as they get older, that is the default on almost everything. TV shows were better. Politicians were better. Carpets were better. My God, air was better. Everything was better. Sometimes it's right. You know what? A lot of times, nah, you're just living in the past. And there's tremendous material, whatever it might be available now. So when you think Gene Hackman, what comes to mind? I just think of versatility that very few people have ever had in acting. Always loved when he was interviewed. Didn't you enjoy when he would talk about his craft and his life?
Yeah, he was great. He's a good Letterman guest for sure.
Great Letterman guest. Great Larry King guest. And obviously his health has not been great because his last movie, I think, I looked at, wasn't it 04?
Yes, Welcome to Mooseport, 2004.
I saw it, yeah. And he's 75 then, right? We got a lot of people. I mean, De Niro's in a movie every week, right?
Well, he's got a new series now, too.
He does. He's playing two different roles, right, in a movie coming up. So do we still have the Gene Hackmans where it's the everyday-looking guy who can play, honestly, the producer-director says, I wrote this role. I know Gene Hackman can play four of them, right? I mean, they knew Hackman could play any role because he could pull it off. And the movie experience for you, when we have so many options, when we have all the streaming options, when we have all the social media options, and then the pandemic altering things, are you fully back into the movie experience? Because I'm not, and I'm a fool for it. I'm missing too much of what I used to love, and I'm sure I would love now. And I need to change that. What do you want to say? 651-461-9226.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I think of this recently, I think of movies because David Tennant, the uber-talented David Tennant, was the host of BAFTA, you know, their Oscars. And he came out and opened the show to this tune. And it was great. He was getting people involved. It was tremendous. The music theme today, Dave Harrigan, is?
Our theme is in honor of those brave 9 members of the Minneapolis City Council that did vote to override Mayor Fry's veto of the plan for George Floyd Square, and keep the dream of that pedestrian mall alive, Chad. Yeah. We've got walking music today.
We'll get to that at 1:35. We'll also, we wanted Latricia Vita on today because she's so good in this. she voted against overriding the veto, and then she said, no, you should talk to Andrea Jenkins. We've talked to Andrea many times, so I'm sure we will again, but we want a Latricia on today. So I'm Team Fry in this one. We'll get to that at 1:35. Okay. Among the text mentioning like comparable Hackman, like you mentioned Harrison Ford off here, and there's plenty. The thing about Ford is I don't remember Harrison Ford playing the third guy much, or the second guy much. I mean, maybe that's why I love him so much in Shrinking. I don't know if he's the... I mean, he's the character I love the most on Shrinking, and he's so damn funny. But you think of Harrison Ford, you just think, pretty much right from Star Wars, he's just a lead guy.
He's not even the lead in Star Wars. He's not Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
He's second banana to Mark Hamill. Harrison Ford doesn't have the...
It's a pretty prominent second banana.
Well, it is. It certainly
is. And after
is.
That, after that, he's pretty much the main guy.
That's true. And he didn't do as much comedy as Gene Hackman has, at least in film. But, I mean, you mentioned Shrinking, and obviously, if you've ever seen Harrison Ford on a late-night show, an interview show, he's hilarious.
He is. He's a 10 on late-night shows. He's so damn good. Even now, he's so damn good. How about Anthony Hopkins among the texters?
Sure.
That's a good one. Sam Jackson. I think that's a pretty good... I mean, not as many maybe at the highest level, right, that Oscar-worthy, but Sam Jackson, he can crank out some movies, right?
Yes, and... You know, when I think of Gene Hackman, a lot of times I just think of those scenes where he's really fired up and angry.
Yeah.
Like you get a lot. You mentioned Crimson Tide. I watched that movie 30 times. And, yes. You know, between he and Sam Jackson, that is a skill that those two have, maybe higher than anybody else, that can, when they're angry, they are angry on film.
Hauser mentions Sean Connery. When Sean Connery was around, he could do that for sure. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
How about Robert Duvall? I think he could pull that off. Duvall was, you know, amazing. Eastwood? Where does Eastwood fit in this?
You'd be better than me because I haven't seen enough old Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. I think he was, man, again, lead guy so often. Again, Eastwood and Hackman in Unforgiven. Amazing.
Was Eastwood the same quality of actor as Hackman? Not to say Eastwood was bad.
I think that's a fair question. My lean is no, but still really good, right?
Oh, sure.
How about this one? This text. My favorite fun fact about Gene Hackman, this texter, he was the top choice for Mike Brady in Brady Bunch.
Really? That would have been a different show.
I just want to, I mean, texter, are you having fun with us, or is that true? We could Google that, I guess. I mean, and again, he pulls off comedy. But if he's Mike Brady, when did Brady Bunch start? Late 60s, maybe? It's got to direct him a different way, right? You know, people talk about Get Shorty. Yeah, he's amazing, Get Shorty. And just so many brilliant roles. Like, for you, were movies, like, I'm, like, J.K. Simmons. J.K. Simmons is a great character actor, for sure. More of a surge in his life, would you say, the last 10, 15 years? And whereas for Hackman was cranking out borderline every year multiple prominent movies. Just stunning. How about you in the movie experience? Because I'm not back, and I should be back.
Not back much. We saw two movies in succession, one week after another. Was it late November, early December? It was Moana 2, and then I can't remember the name of the Christmas movie we saw with my niece and nephew. But aside from that last year, and I don't think there was maybe one more, but I don't think there was. It's, you know, part of it is just busyness. Part of it is movies cost much more now than they did pre-pandemic. And a lot of it is simply, you know what? The movies come out, especially if they're, you know, kids' Disney movies. We pay for Disney Plus. They're going to be on Disney Plus,
right?
You know, in a month or two. So why are we shelling out the money unless it's one they really, really want to see?
That is the craziness now, right? I mean, the movie's out. You know, you're excited. And then, wait a second. 17 days later, it's on my TV right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yes. A number of people confirming that Gene Hackman was the initial pursuit to play Mike Brady.
I'm getting conflicting reports on that via Entertainment Weekly.
Oh, really?
The legend about Gene Hackman almost becoming Mr. Brady is not true, or at least very exaggerated. Hackman was on Sherwood Schwartz's wish list for maybe Mike's, and he'd hoped to set up an interview with the actor to discuss the part, but it never actually happened.
Okay.
How close?
Good info.
We'll see.
Twins game tomorrow. So we're not on. And that means Major Garrett is coming up now. Little bonus Major Garrett on a Thursday here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Major is here, like all of our guests. Major Garrett is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Before we jump into politics, we just spent a couple segments talking about the brilliance of Gene Hackman. News coming out today. He, his wife, and one of their dogs passing away. Suspicious enough to investigate. When Major Garrett thinks of Gene Hackman, what comes to mind?
Well, French Connection, Unforgiven, Hoosiers, those, The Conversation, those are all four great Gene Hackman movies. Great, great Gene Hackman movies. Look, it was hard to be a distinguished and memorable actor in the 70s because there was so much competition, okay?
Right.
The 70s was an amazing time in American cinema. Not such an amazing time in American music, but an amazing time in American cinema. A lot of great music in the 70s, but not nearly as great as the 60s and 80s. But American cinema was at a very special place in the 1970s, highly experimental. Great stories, amazing characters, and to push through as a memorable actor of that time was very, very difficult. Gene Hackman did, and for all the right reasons.
Are you now consulting with Wayne Gretzky on whether Canada will become the 51st state? Because it appears the president of the United States is borderline leaving it up to Wayne Gretzky if he should continue to pursue Canada as a 51st state. That's what I read yesterday.
So, and in that social media post, the president was like, he's a free agent. I don't want him to be I don't want things to be complicated. I don't want people to get mad at Wayne because he kind of liked me. And
yes.
I think there's an important backstory to that social media post. What has happened in Canadian politics in the last 6 weeks has been nothing short of astonishing. Justin Trudeau's party in Canada was flat on its back, destined to lose their election for prime minister later this year. In 6 weeks, they have gotten off the map, off the mat, rather. They're still on the map. They're always on the map, but they've gotten off the map.
Wait a second, Dave. Check the map. They're off the map.
They're near that is closer to Greenland now.
He wants them off the map. I think that's what
not
desires.
A Freudian slip, ladies and gentlemen. Not a Freudian slip. And they're now running competitively with the Conservatives in Canada for one reason and one reason only. The Liberal Party, associated with Justin Trudeau, has basically said, we are going to be the ones better able to protect Canadian interests up against Trump. And this great swelling of Canadian nationalism and pride as a counterpoint to Trump's hectoring, demeaning conversation about the 51st state and labeling Justin Trudeau the governor of the sovereign nation of Canada has revived the political prospect single-handedly of Justin Trudeau's out-of-step, politically lagging Liberal Party and Liberal coalition. I'm not saying they're going to win, but they're much more competitive than they were 6 weeks ago, and there's only one reason for that, the Trump effect in Canada. Yep. And I think that's one of the reasons Trump was trying to play nice with Wayne Gretzky and say he's a free agent and I don't have anything really to do with him and don't get mad at him and backing off a little bit.
Right.
Because he is not ruined, but he has dampened the political prospects of the Conservative Party in Canada, which he is ideologically aligned with. And even the leader of that party has basically put out an ad, I guess, recently saying, I will stand up to Trump. I will stand up for Canada, you know. So that Trump has now become this huge issue in Canada and for understandable reasons.
The president right now is meeting with the British Prime Minister in the Oval Office. He probably will take questions for 30 minutes, take a break, and then take even more questions.
Yes. Yeah.
Did the same thing with French President Macron.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk access with Donald Trump and availability, because it has been constant. It is there. It's almost every 2-3 hours he's answering questions. So I give him credit for that. I'd like the facts to be more involved. That's just me. So I want you to talk about that. But then I also want you to talk about the White House Press Association and what the White House is threatening to do in removing that role and the White House themselves selecting who is available to ask questions to the president himself.
Right. Lots to get there, too. First of all, you and I have had this conversation before. President Trump, and I've covered every president since Bill Clinton, is the most accessible president I've ever covered, and it's not close. He is the most accessible president of modern history, which means he's the most accessible president ever, okay? There are net values to that for democracy.
I agree.
One of them is, and this played out with French President Macron, they took, I can't remember what the exact number was, but 20 or more questions in between or among the events, the Oval Office pool spray is what we call it, and then the formal press conference. And what you learned and saw in their interaction, I guarantee you, was about 90% of what they said to each other in private. That kind of visibility and on the record conversation playing out in full public view, where Emmanuel Macron corrected President Trump when he said things inaccurately about European support for Ukraine, when he laid down the imperatives of security arrangements for Ukraine at any peace deal, when he said that Europe was interested in providing troops and the mechanism by which they would do that, those followed the contours of their private conversations, except the public got to see them play out and the personalities behind them. There is tremendous value in that. And only President Trump brings that to the fore. That's a fact. And it's an important one for this democracy. And it's an important one when this White House talks about its approach to access to the president. I've always told you, I'd much rather talk to the president than any cabinet secretary or press secretary. I want to know what the principal, the decision maker, is thinking and why. And President Trump reveals that more frequently than any other president in American history. And it's not close. There are fact issues, significant fact issues, because mythologies come through Trump's answers to questions, and those mythologies inform policy. They're his mythologies. Because he's president, they direct policy and influence the political conversation, because we had an election and we elected him as a nation. So we have to live with that. The media corrects them. Other political actors will correct them. He will hold on to them or abandon them as his whims direct him to. Now, White House Correspondents Association, for about 100 years, since 1914, the White House Correspondents Association has submitted, in a rather informal process, reporters to have access to presidents when there's a limited access of reporters. So some events, everyone in the White House can attend as a reporter. Some are not. Some are restricted to just the pool. Now, the pool is a more modern construct. Basically grew out of assassination attempts on presidents. So there'd always be reporters' eyes on or close to the president in case something really terrible happened. It was also an outgrowth of tensions within the Cold War. And the idea, the well-placed idea, that a president and the country could be placed in very serious jeopardy and reporters needed to be near the president to get a response from the president should something terrible happen. Okay? So it's a smaller number of reporters. Historically, the White House Correspondents Association, to take the logistical hassle away from any occupant of the White House, would say who those reporters are. It's 13. And the distribution runs from the wire services to the broadcast networks, magazines, etc., and photographers and the like. This week, the White House announced it would take over who is in that smaller group of reporters and would add and replace wire services with their selected new media reporters. Most of the new media identified with this White House is obviously pro-Trump.
Yeah,
they're journalistic, but they're pro-Trump. They're pro-Trump. So that's adding to the mix pro-Trump reporters. One of them gave the president a thumbs up yesterday during the cabinet meeting as he was walking out. Gave a thumbs up to the president of the United States.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
On camera.
Yeah.
So
correct.
That's the White House signaling a couple of things that I'm not sure the president quite understands. Because that makes him look weak, not strong. He doesn't need softball questions. He knows what he believes and why. He's won the presidency twice. He's pretty good at explaining himself, quite evidently. Does he need softball questions? Because that's what so far has been the sum total of these additive reporters' contribution. Blatant, garish softball questions.
Fawning is the word I would use.
And that makes the president look weaker than I think he wants to look. And I guarantee you this, he will grow bored of it. Because he, uniquely in politics, derives tremendous energy and spark from agitation, conflict, and pushback.
Don't you think he believes that he, with his core, and it's a large core, that he benefits when that sparring takes place?
Yes, quite obviously. And look, I never sparred with Trump. I asked him tough questions. He took them. He's very good at taking tough questions. He's very good at it. And as long as you're respectful, as I always was, because I respect the presidency and the occupant, whoever it is, under all circumstances,
Absolutely. He
took it. Other reporters got a little bit more emotional in their interactions during the first Trump administration. They can defend themselves. I'm not here to describe what they did or didn't do. They have their reputations that were in some instances burnished by their conflicts with the president, in some cases diminished. The sum total of a White House reporter's activity is to cover and witness what the president does and elicit the most newsworthy answers in every interaction. That's what you're there to do. Softball questions tend not to do that. They really don't. And so the White House has taken on this logistical chore of deciding who the reporters are in to see the president. Not all of them, just one or two. So the networks will be fine. We're not touched by it yet. The magazines aren't touched yet, or the magazine representatives, the still photographers aren't touched yet. But this is an encroachment on something that, for the life of me, I don't understand why the president feels the need to encroach upon. But he does, and my prediction is he will grow bored of it sooner than he thinks.
When we come back with Major, these three topics: Chile, Elon Musk, and RFK Jr. Back with Major Garrett in moments on CCO. Today, Major Garrett, it's National Chili Day, one of these contrived, made-up days. I have said this for a while. I think chili, at its best, at its finest, is better than any other soup on planet Earth. You say what to that statement?
I generally agree with that.
Thank you.
When done well. So I spent a fair amount of time in Texas early in my career. Texas has a lot of chili, and there are a lot of communities that have chili contests and cook-offs and things like that. So I had a chance to sample some of that in the 80s when I was a reporter in Amarillo, Texas and Houston, Texas. I have a dear friend who is a competitive barbecue pitmaster and a chili maker. So I knew a little bit about the fine art of this. But yeah, done well. And I don't know about you, but I want a lot of grated sharp cheddar and a lot of grated onions freshly to be put on top of my chili.
Where do you stand on beans?
If they're around, sliced jalapenos.
Oh, yeah.
If they're around.
You have to have it. Do you want beans in your chili?
I do.
Yeah. Thank you. Yep. Just whenever I raise something, if you just want to work that in from now on, I agree. I mean, if you just, if you would like to say that each point I make, I would feel better. I think most
something
of America
like this
would feel
Chad
better.
Chad is 100% right.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. We'll play that over and over again.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. That's in the new intro.
Elon Musk and the White House and the emails and what did you do and more reporting now that the White House had no idea this email was coming. What's the dialogue right now between Elon, his whims, his decisions, and whether he okays with the White House or not?
It's all one-to-one with President Trump. And as long as there is one-to-one with President Trump, it shall continue. And look, the executive orders have flowed in Elon's direction to empower him to the maximum ability with the authority vested in the President of the United States. There are now three executive orders to Elon and Doge about their powers and the authorities granted to them by the president. So Elon is in the confines of the West Wing and the White House winning. He has the president's support and the president's visibility. And the president put out a social media post before the cabinet meeting. Everyone here loves Elon, right? You know? Then he opens the cabinet meeting. Everyone here loves Elon, right? And what did people do? They applauded, you know, systematically after the president said that. President's comfortable with that. Maybe the country's comfortable with it. I've been to other countries less democratic than ours where instantaneous applause from a lot of people sitting around a leader looks a little different, looks a little creepy, and not genuine. I'm not saying that's what happened yesterday, but that kind of reaction is distinctly Trumpian in a cabinet room. People feel the need to do that. So Elon has a lot of power right now, and yet the application of that power is decidedly uneven. The Veterans Administration confirmed yesterday that it is rescinding layoff notices. Why? Because Republicans in Congress said, what are you doing? What are you doing? We can't have that. So some agencies will be cut more than others. There's confusion about the Environmental Protection Agency. Lee Zeldin, the administrator, said 65%. Well, it's not 65% of personnel, 65% of the budget. We'll see. Congress needs to be involved in that. The receipts that Elon and Doge keep posting keep running into fact problems. They say that it was $8 billion. It's $8 million because they coding can't understand the difference between a billion and a million. People who are new to Washington spending sometimes have that problem. They have it a lot. They keep saying it's much more than it actually is. This is playing out in many ways, in many levels that are confusing federal employees. And look, if they're as aggressive as they say they are going to be, the ripple effects around this economy and communities around our nation will be pronounced. I remind people of this all the time. 80% of the federal workforce and more than 90% of federal contractors do not live in the Washington, D.C. area. They live across the country.
Yeah, that's a really good reminder. The New York Post editorial board, as you know, is right-leaning. Rupert Murdoch-owned. They are more often than not very sympathetic to Republicans and in particular the president of the United States. But today they called on RFK Jr., the Secretary of Health and Human Services, to head to West Texas, where we've already had one individual, a child, unvaccinated child, die from measles, to travel there and say what he should say, that he should encourage individuals to take the vaccine, that prepare themselves and that the vaccine is valid and the data is extraordinarily voluminous to back up that this aids you immeasurably in stopping you and others from getting measles. I hope he follows. I highly doubt he will.
Well, but that, and that's the New York Post looking at the coming political firestorm and trying to head it off by giving some advice. And editorial pages, particularly of a partisan bent, do this all the time. It's kind of a feedback loop that goes on left and right. I'm not saying it's on the right wing. Left wing or left-oriented editorial boards do this all the time. And it's instructive to watch it play out in full public view. And what they know is this is not going to be contained to West Texas. It's in nine counties now. There are nine cases in eastern New Mexico. There are doctors who are very concerned that this is going to spread to Oklahoma. Why? Because once one of these things begins to develop momentum and you have below 95%, in parts of West Texas, it's below 90% vaccination rates, susceptibility is high. And measles is particularly problematic here because you can transmit the virus before you have any symptoms.
Correct.
Before you have any symptoms. So you don't know you're sick and you are transmitting the virus. It's not always or even typically fatal, but it can be for children and anyone with an immunocompromised system. And it's unnecessary. We eradicated measles in this country in 2000. It was declared over. Many physicians have no practical experience diagnosing it for an understandable reason. They haven't seen much of it.
Yep.
So the New York Post is just recognizing what's coming, saying, hey, get out ahead of this. Do yourself a favor, and the president one too.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your flexibility coming on Thursday. Have a great weekend, and we'll actually next Thursday, we'll talk again because we have another
Chad
Twins game.
That is 100% right.
Thank you. Thank you. Major will be saying that everywhere on TV going forward. Chad is 100% right. No chance that's taking place because it's not accurate. Susie, CBS, and Billy Guerin next hour.